Wedding in Cana of Galilee. As a model for Christian marriage, I'm trying to complete what Sayyidina starts now with the symbols of the Christian wedding, Coptic one. So we have a model for Christian marriage in Gospel, in St. John Gospel, chapter 2. Okay? Was said, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now." I'll go with some words. The first, on the third day. Usually when we read the third day, our mind as Christian goes to what? To the resurrection. What is the relation between our belief in resurrection and marriage? Actually, the forefathers said that those who did not taste the power of resurrection can never enjoy their Christian marriage, because the power of resurrection applies on our repentance. When we repent, we conquer, we win the battle with the devil. We can succeed in our warfare. So this is the power of resurrection. We enjoy our new life as husband and wife because we win the battle with selfishness, with whatever bad inside us. So the third day has something to do with the story of Cana, experiencing the resurrection before marriage. That's why we are trying to force all our young men and women to repent before marriage. You know, they will repent after marriage, but they need to repent before marriage, because this will help them to love each other. Without repentance, each of them thinks of himself, he enjoys his life in his way, he is down in his lusts and whatever bad things, so he can never enjoy the pure love, the God's love in marriage. So he needs the power of God, the power of resurrection. So it starts with the secret of the third day. The third day means we need this power of God so we can start a real new life, not as myself alone, but with my partner. The second was the Cana. Cana of Galilee, you know, it was a poor village. All the area of Galilee, it's the northern area in Palestine at that time. You know, at time of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were Galilee on the north, and Judea on the south, and Samaria in the middle. The area of Galilee was the poorest area, and filled with villages are all poor, were all poor. Nasira, Nadaria of Jesus, and Cana. Why our Lord chose this poor village to start his miracles and to sanctify the marriage in this village? as if he is saying, money had nothing to do with the happiness in their marital life after. Money had nothing to do with real love and joy. This poor village enjoyed the presence of God and enjoyed the transformation of the water, the usual water, the usual life, into a wine which symbolizes the new life with its holy and sacred nature. That was written in the Bible. Is it possible that out of Galilee comes something good? As if you can never expect from Cana of Galilee anything good. But the best comes of Cana. I mean, you can see poor families and poor couples, but they are enjoying their Christian marriage. And you can see those who are very rich, they can never live together as husband and wife in a Christian way. So unexpectedly, you can see in Cana of Galilee the blessing or the grace of God. So do not think much in your marriage of money or whatever earthly things. These things have nothing to do with the blessing of God or grace of God. The third part of the story, there were our mother, Virgin Mary, our mother. Why we usually think of our mother, Saint Mary, on our weddings? First of all, Saint Mary stands for the icon for the bride, the icon of the bride. You know, the groom comes inside the church with the song of Ob Oro, that's the meaning, Lord of Peace. And after marriage, they went out of the church with the song of Share Maria, means peace to Saint Mary. Why we start with Christ and end with Saint Mary? As if we are putting Christ at the icon in front of the eyes of the groom, and we are putting Saint Mary before the eyes of the bride. So they can concentrate on the model, on the icon. They should follow these steps to enjoy their relationship. Also, the presence of Saint Mary inside our ceremony stands for the motherhood of the church. We need her presence, we need her blessing, we need her prayers, we need her love. With the motherhood of Saint Mary, we feel secured. This is the feeling of Christian Orthodox members of the church. They are covered with the motherhood of Saint Mary. In Cana of Galilee, nobody felt this woman, but this woman was behind the miracle. Because she is always our mother, she feels our needs, she prays for our needs, she covers our needs with her prayers. The third point, that Saint Mary stands for the continuous prayer. You know, Saint Mary usually do not speak much, but she prays much. And all things runs inside her heart. She does not speak it out except rarely. So when we look to Saint Mary, the silent Saint Mary, we remind ourselves of the continuous prayer. If we want to keep our relation strong and happy, we should learn from our mother how to pray continuously. Also, there were our Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. In our weddings, we pray to our Lord Jesus Christ with the blessing of the apostles. The apostles with the Lord stands for the holy priesthood. We need the holy priesthood. This is a sacrament. So the blessing of our father Abba Thomas and our other fathers, this is remind us of the hand of God. The hand of God now is the hand of the bishop and the hand of the priest. So the presence of the priests or the disciples at that day reminds us how gracious we are to the sacrament of priesthood. Also, it reminds us of the kingdom of heaven. As Sayyidina was saying, we are running towards kingdom of heaven. So with the praying to God and with the presence of His disciples, we feel like as if we are in the heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. What the kingdom of heaven except the presence of God and His people around, His saints and His mother around. So we are enjoying the taste of kingdom of heaven in the ceremony of Martin. Our mother, Saint Mary, said to the Lord, they ran out of wine. This is a real important praying. Because what's wine in the Bible? Usually wine stands for two meanings. Either love or joy. Usually. You know, it has another meaning, a way which runs for the bad things. But usually it stands for joy or love. Saint Mary always pray for our couples, for our homes, when we ran out of love and we ran out of joy. So remind yourself that whenever you feel as if you lost your love towards your partner, you are not enjoying our relation with your partner, you go to your mother, she will teach you again how to love your partner. She will teach you how to enjoy the relation in the presence of God. Because as if she is praying continuously for this. She loved us. So she needs us all happy. I remind you also with the words of God, whoever drinks of this water will thirst. You know, the water stands usually for the taste of this world, of this life, the earthly one. But the change of water, the new water, which here is the wine, stands for the new life. So as if our church teaches us in the ceremony of matrimony, we are changing your life into a new taste, a new life with your partner. You will enjoy life in a special way you never felt before. You will enjoy God in a special way you never touched before. So it's a new experience, a new life, a new wine. So marriage in our beliefs, it's not lust, it's not benefit, it's not social contract. It's a sacrament because of the presence of God, His mother, His disciples, His hand, and His sacrament of transformation from the nature of water, the usual one, into the new life or wine. Strangely enough, that our Lord answered Saint Mary saying, it's not the hour. What is the relation between His hour, and we all understand His hour, speaking on the cross and redemption. What is the relation of the hour with the marriage? Is there any relation between His work on the cross and His resurrection, His redemption, His salvation, with our relationships and our marriage? Our forefathers said that there was redemption of marriage. After the sin of Adam and Eve, everything fell down. Everything changed to the bad picture of it. So our Lord came to change back everything to its pre-idea. I mean, God created us to enjoy marriage, to love each other. After sin, Adam lost his love towards his Eve. So God came and died and made the salvation to change the pattern of marriage back to the one inside the kingdom, the one of Gannat Adam. So there is real relation between the cross and marriage. You should carry your cross to enjoy marriage. you should endure the weaknesses of your partner to enjoy your marriage. You should love the way God loved us so you can enjoy your marriage. Also the resurrection of and marriage, and we spoke about it. The ascension and marriage. The ascension, the same what Sayyidina said, that you are always looking up to heaven and waiting to go to the kingdom of heaven. Also Saint Mary said to the servants at that day, whatever he says to you, do it. So this is, I think, the only advice Saint Mary gave us all through the Bible and all through her life, that whatever he says, do it. This is the advice of the best bride ever, Saint Mary. She is the one chosen by God to be the bride. So we have to know the secret why she was chosen. She was chosen because that was her theme, that was her model in life. Whatever he says to you, do it. This means that we should follow the words of God. We should follow the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ in our life. How to treat your partner in the way God treated us. What to say and what not to say. What to do in this and what not to do. This is all referred to the Bible and the teachings of our Lord. Also, we obey the church, because the church is the wife of God. We look at it this way. So we should follow also the word of the church. The Holy Spirit teach us how to obey. The Holy Spirit remind us with the words of God and the words of the church. So if any time we are busy with our life, the Holy Spirit will remind us with the words of God and the church. Also, there were written the six water pots. What the six water pots stands for? Six water pots, which was filled with water, and then after it changed to wine. I would think it in that the couple needs six kinds of water to enjoy their relationship. First of all, the talking, the words. They have to talk to each other, and not in the usual watery way, the previous one. No, in the wine way, I mean in the new way, the New Testament way, the holy way, the good way of Christ and church. So there is change in the way you speak with your wife. Second, the feeling. The feeling changes from the feeling of selfishness to the feeling of giving, not taking. The feeling of pleasing others. Attitude. What's your attitude towards your partner? Are you trying to get over him? Are you trying to push him in a way? Are you trying to criticize him all the time? Or are you trying to let him in front of you and please him? Touching. The touching or the touches is a good way of relationship between the couples. The kind touches all the way, the smiling, the good, the eye contact, all the time. It's like continuous praying. You know, communication with God is all the time. And also communication between the man and his wife supposed to be all the time. Thinking. You change the way you think into a new wine, a new type of thinking. You think in a godly way, in a giving way, not in a selfish way. Also hearing. You hear your partner in whatever he says. Lastly, our Lord were saying, fill, draw out, take it too. Fill the pots and draw out whatever comes, and then take it to the one in charge. This kind of orders stand for the hard work and the blessing. I mean, you should work hard to strengthen your marriage. I read one day that most of the people consider that they should work for their marriage before marriage. But after marriage, they stop working on it, as if it needs not any more effort to continue. But actually, it's like a flower. If you stop putting the water on it, it will fade out. Also, marriage, the Christian one, is a breaching. When you see a real Christian couple, they love each other strongly. In a godly way, they push each other to the kingdom of heaven. They put their Lord in front of them before each other. When you see this couple, you can see the smell of love eternally. You can taste God's love of the kingdom of heaven. You can know what real love is. So we are breaching our nature of Christian marriage. Also, these advices stand for springing up into an everlasting life. I mean, when you give the water to others, this is kind of mission. So the best couple is the couple who thinks of what's the goal of our life, what's our mission in life. We are not living together just to enjoy each other, but we have a higher level of mission. We have to serve all the world with God's love. Also, the good wine, finally, means that we need to grow in our marriage. The growth, the spiritual growth, we have to share our partner in his growth spiritually. Also, don't look back to the old wine. I mean, don't think in an old way. Don't think of your lusts before you started your way with your partner. Never look back. And lastly, present your marriage always in your prayer to God. Glory to God. Amen. Any questions? I have a question. Now you have listened to like 4 lectures, thank God. But how to keep your marriage up to this level? To keep it up. I mean, with the start, usually the warm feeling is there, and ideas still knocking on your mind. But after a few years, with the business and the money matters and the children after and the problems with everybody, usually we lose everything. So how can we keep it up for life? Understand? I mean, I need some practical points you put to us so we can keep our marriage happy and strong for the whole life.
Mm-hmm. So probably it's more like how to keep our spiritual life towards the right direction all the time. So we could just look on how we keep our spiritual life moving towards.
Very good. So the first step is to keep our spiritual life up to the level we need. So when we care for our spirituality, this will keep our marriage safe. This is a good point. It goes with praying, Bible study, serving in the church, confession regularly, having communion every week. Okay.
I will find the concept in the beginning. Hmm. To whom I'm belonging, what I'm doing, the vision, everything.
Yeah. We should remind ourselves of the idea we started with that like belonging and vision we have from the start, this may need regular checking on our minds and on our goals and where we are going to. Okay. Yeah. Very good. If any of them drops through the way, so the other should help him to start again and stand again and care for his spirituality and for his idea. So we should care for each of us spiritually and on these ideas. Any more comments? Very good, very good. We should put like a map or plan or outline what to do next, what to do in the future, and we should commit ourselves to this plan and being accountable to a father of confession for following up. This will keep the way straight and secured. Okay. I heard from Abuna Antonius Alayna Yahnafsu that the spiritual relation for the couple is partially personal and partially coupled. I mean, you should pray with your wife, but this not all your prayers. You should pray alone. You should enjoy your relation with God as before, but you should keep the minimum sharing with your partner in praying and Bible study and talking about God and serving together. But this does not mean that all your relation with God is always related to your partner. You understand? That was the advice I took before. Yeah. Another idea, we can call Saint Mary to help, as she was praying always. They ran out of wine, as if when we ran out of love, or ran out of the way, ran out of peace, ran out of caring, ran out of good communication. So there is always somebody to care for this, who is Saint Mary. So when we think this way, we feel secured and covered by the blessing of Saint Mary and the saints, and we can pray more.
Is it proper to exercise review your relationship
Thank you. Exercise reviewing the relation every now and then. This is a very good term. Exercise reviewing the relation every now and then. Abu Nihan. Yeah. Very good. Sorting out the small, tiny problems or sins or weaknesses that coming up inside the relation, so to avoid complication or avoid getting more down. Very good. Seek advice whenever it comes to problems or you lost the taste of heaven in your relation with partner. Seek advice of the church, advice of your father of confession, advice Christian counseling, but seek it because you need it. Nobody knows everything, and sometimes you cannot cure yourself by your hand. Any more comments on this?
I think we can also add that to appreciate being as much as you appreciate doing. Because most of the time we are expecting the other partners to do something. Do this and do that, don't do that and don't do this. But to appreciate the beingness together is something very important, because being is the human being actually. And this is something, it's a philosophical inner understanding of the being with another partner, and that brings me a contentment, resting in the security of this relationship, that actually would create something beautiful. So to remind myself with the being by itself, so it makes me happy, not expecting that the other should always do and do and do. So what about if this person, the other partner, would not be able to continue and keep up with the expectations, with the high expectation that the other partner wants? Will the relationship will collapse? Then we need as well to learn how to appreciate the being, not only the doing.